Frozen Balls, NBA trade deadline. We're not done. We're going to do one pod today. We're going to do two as a recap. So we talked about some of the bigger deals that happened. We're also now going to talk about, you know, more of those and like who didn't, who did, sort of thing. Did want to address on the Celtics. Okay. I think definitely I have a couple thoughts here. So I think, yes, it was a good deadline for them. Getting Xavier Tillman to shore up the front court depth is big. I don't want to rely on Luke Kornet for playoff minutes. And, you know, Horford is not spry anymore. I don't think he can give you 30 minutes in a playoff game, right? So if Zinger, you know, goes down, you got Tillman now, who could space a little bit. Saw a contributor there. They got gave up, you know, the right value, I think, to get him, which was good. Jaden Springer is also kind of nice, right? As like a fourth wing, I think it's fine. I'm not holding out a ton of hope for it. O'Shea Brissett seems to not really have worked out. He's not really a firm part of the rotation. You know, obviously the guy I would have loved that the Knicks ended up getting in this slot was Alec Burks, quite frankly. Just like a perfect rotational talent. And yeah, it would have made, you know, a ton of sense on this team, right? Just like a bigger wing. Who could defend, score, you know, a point of attack defender as well, all that, right? I think the Celtics, just in general, right? I mean, look, they did the right move in the offseason. They spent their assets on a guy like Porzingis, who's been good. So you can't really combat anything they've done. You know, Stevens has done, I think, quite a decent job as GM. He's overpaid a little bit here and there, but the talents he's gotten back have been fantastic. Derek White's been good and all that, right? Celtics have to be aggressive in the buyout market, though, I would say, right? And you're going to have, you know, I think their hope was like Hayward was going to magically get bought out and go there. That would have been lucky. But look, in 08, P.J. Brown was key for their title run, and I think they do need a buyout guy here. And, like, to me, the buyout guy is going to be Danilo Gallinari to take a look at. People talk about Spencer Dinwiddie, too. Dinwiddie's big for pending on the team, right? I think, like, Dallas, Dinwiddie makes sense. Now the rumors are he's going to go to the Lakers as a backup guard there. Fine, right? I think if you're Dinwiddie and you're aiming to get your next contract, you want to go to a team that's probably going to make a conference finals run or better. You want to do, like, the Reggie Jackson move. He went to Denver. That worked out perfectly for his career. Kind of rejuvenated it a bit. Dinwiddie, to me, Dallas is a risk because you're only going to play one round and like, I don't know if that really helps your value or not, but just playing one round. And look, the Lakers, it's not by any means. Odds are they won't make the second round, so I don't know what he's thinking about going there, but they might not even make a playoff series. You lose in the play-in. You get acclimated and all that. But at the same token, the Lakers does expose you further. It gives you more, just viewability than the other teams. People can talk about down the stretch, you have a good game. So at that standpoint, sure, you might get a decent contract if you play well there. Throw a little heat on Russell. I mean, look, the argument for Schroeder to join, for Dinwiddie to join the Lakers is look what happened to Dennis Schroeder, right? But again, Schroeder this last season, again, he's the same player. I always say this, he's the same player. But he got, in one situation, he gets cut and waived. In another situation, he gets a decent contract. The difference there is the Lakers went deeper in the playoffs, and Schroeder could get exposed or not, but he looked quite good in that series. Dinwiddie, you know, I think needs to think about that point. There's not a lot of teams. And again, I'm going to keep mentioning this team. The only team, if I'm like a veteran free agent that I need to consider that could make a deep run, at least to the second round, and could use me, is the Milwaukee Bucks. And that's the case for Dinwiddie, and that's the case for Gallinari. So yes, if I am Gallinari or Dinwiddie, I'd like to go to the Bucks. Why? They're going to use me in their rotation. They need me. They need scoring off the bench. I hit that role. They could space. They could space for Giannis, and they could, you know, look really good in that system. Those are the two guys to watch out, is this buyout market with Gallinari and Dinwiddie. Now, if I'm the Celtics, it's unfortunate because Gallinari, look, I get Hauser's playing well and all that. You would have liked to have Gallinari. He could have given you another facet in a rotation. What do I mean by that? Well, first off, He could play, I don't think he could play wing per se, but he could give you a spacing at a 4 or 5 slot even. In certain stints, I think it could have helped them in certain games of the series. And that could have been really good for Gallinari to get that exposure there. Obviously, as we all know, it's been well documented, Gallinari and Celtics had a rough split. He was pretty pissed. And he said after they had traded him in that larger Washington deal, he was going to circle Boston on his calendar. Like, dude. And he probably did that because I think when he signed the deal with Boston years ago, he thought this was going to be a place for him. He was going to somewhat settle there. And this was going to be the nice little four-way chapter in his career. Maybe he got false promises, what have you. Happens in the NBA, plus he got hurt. So what are you supposed to do with that for the Celtics and look to contend? But in general, I think the buyout market right now is kind of thinned. It's really Dinwiddie, you know, Gallo. I don't see other guys that at least help the Celtics, and I think they were quite reliant on that buyout market. And to come back with Tillman's nice, again, what else were we supposed to do? Springer, whatever. Look, if the Celtics still are favored to win the East, I think, to me, they should be nervous in tight playoff series. They have been frazzled in the past. And the Knicks in particular, if they get healthy, are the team that I think would give them a tough time. I don't see an issue with Milwaukee or Philly. Going a little deeper into what Milwaukee did, right? So, look, I think Beverly helps them a lot. Again, they need to be aggressive at the buyout market. So I think their issue has always been the two in their rotation, the shooting guard. You know, they have Connington, they have Beasley. If you're a little at the one, you need to have a little bit of better defense at the two. Crowder played well Thursday night, which was last night as I'm taping this. He can't really play the two at this stage of his career. You know, they haven't tested Marjan Bocamp enough, and I get the sense that, like, you know, I don't know if they want to. So, and the Bucks are reeling right now. They've been losing a bit. They've been losing ground as a result in the standings. This could be a crazy year in Milwaukee. I don't know where you go from here. If they lose early again, everyone's aging. They've maxed out the roster. You know, I think you're going to start to hear things sooner rather than later. Now, I'll say this. If you're a small market, in particular, and you have a star like that, like Giannis, you got to hold on to him for dear life. They know this. I'm not saying anything necessarily unique. And you're at least going to be a second round team with Giannis, right? So my argument back is, I know this is going to sound like a wild statement to make, but I'm going to make it. If I'm Milwaukee, the Giannis notion never on the table. I think I'd be closer to doing different moves, potentially involving Damian Lillard, before I do anything involving Giannis. And I think if I'm the Bucks, I could get a deep team around him in the offseason, you know, maybe bring someone like Brogdon back and just get like a nice clean, I would go deeper, basically, in my rotation than they have done, right? I would replace all these guys who are fringe rotation talents and just get a strong rotation around Giannis. Maybe there's not a clear-cut number two guy, but I don't know. There could be something. I'm not going to mess around in this pod to discuss it. I could, but, you know, I circle my wagons around there a little bit, and we'll just say I do something different, right? Whether that's, you know, I look at Zach LaVine. He's going to come back from surgery. His value is at an all-time low. Can I steal him and other stuff from Chicago? You know, look, I flirt with the Lillard thing. I really do. I really do. I think this is reminiscent to me of the Iverson situation post-Philly. He went to Denver. They tried it. It didn't really work. Then he went to Detroit, and that was really his last chance. I think Milwaukee could get away with it now. They need to make that, like, Iverson-type move again. Like, they clearly... you know, when Detroit was kind of reeling and they needed a little jolt, this actually kind of reminds me of it. They traded Chauncey Billups. That was the second move. The way Denver got him was in a bit more of the Andre Miller trade, which actually reminds me of the Drew Holiday deal, right? Now, if you recall, when the Nuggets got Billups, that really catapulted them. I think, and I look around the league, I don't know who it is. I'm sure someone's going to be blurting someone out, right? It's the Lakers, maybe? I don't know. But... yeah, I am, you know, re-engaging. I don't think it's going to work. I think the Bucks' issue is not coaching, it's personnel. right? And I think they need a little lesson that their MO was on two-way talent. Drew Holiday was quite critical for them. And look, not having him is going to hurt. Beverly helps, but weak max move for the Bucks. Toronto's an interesting one to dissect. Toronto deals a pick. Gets Ajabi. And Kelly Olynyk for a first, right? Toronto, look, they might be doing a last-ditch effort to get a play-in. Very, very possible that they're doing that route. So I don't know what else they could be considering, why they're doing this. And again, like, besides this in the past, like, he'll get value when he can get value. I get it. He got Jakob Poeltl. Look, I think what Silver has successfully done is he doesn't want teams, like, doing these crazy rebuilds. So a lot of teams, like, kind of retool, okay? But I don't know what Masai's MO is here. Like, what? You're going to, like... This team is far away from doing anything, quite frankly. They got the Siakam deal. They're keeping Bruce Brown. You know, what are we doing here? Right? Like, I understand you always have to necessarily build through the draft. But it helps to get good picks. And this is a weak draft, so fine. But you need to develop talent in some way. And I don't think, like, just getting these spacing bigs is going to do it. It's just a weird clunk here. You look at Toronto right now. I think if I'm the Raptors, let's flip it around. If I'm the Raptors, I'm like, well, we got Quickly, Barrett, Barnes, and then we're going to have some spacing around them. That's what he's probably thinking about. So if you got Poeltl there, fine. But Olynyk provides spacing. Or Jabi can provide some spacing. They have some free agents, so maybe we'll do some stuff there. And not really an exciting, you know, I would have liked Toronto. Look, they have the offseason to do it, so maybe they do it in the offseason. But they need to rethink their future core a little bit. I think they're going to give Barrett a longer run before they do anything about him. I don't love Barnes, Barrett, and Quickly right off the bat, but Barrett doesn't have fantastic value. I think if I'm Toronto, I'm repositioning this in the second half to test. I want to test Barrett as a sixth man. He should have been that all along in New York. And then test something like Quickly, Grady Dick, start giving him more minutes, and Barnes and Poeltl, see how that looks. You know, before doing anything deeper than that, Barrett could be sixth man. Olynyk come off the bench. And then I think you lay the groundwork for a wing draftee, right? Everyone's Jalen Williams' brother, you know, out of Colorado. You know, if you get someone similar to that works, then just take it from there. That, to me, probably makes the most sense. They have all these picks now, so, you know, they're still going to be competitive, let's say, while, you know, having some semblance of something that could be interesting for them down the line. Utah, good for them to be sellers at a time where everyone was buyers for a team that was, as of the trade deadline, like a play-in. And they showed incredible flashes with a deep team. Ainge is going for ceiling talent, which means, you know, if the guy doesn't look like a ceiling player to him, he's going to move him, right? Everyone's still up for grabs on that team. I'm surprised they held on to Clarkson through the deadline. Maybe the value wasn't fantastic, which is fair. But they got first. They got seconds. You know, they're going to stockpile. You know, Ainge is going to Ainge, right? And he needs a top pick, though. The Jazz aren't bad enough is the problem. The drastic move that the Jazz honestly need to do is the Lauri Markkanen deal. And I don't think and for whatever reason, you know, the NBA is a weird place with how players are valued. The secret that came out, I think Mark Spear said it, is Lauri Markkanen is not untouchable, but it's going to take your untouchable to get him. And they rightfully put high value on him. Now, look, he could have that high value going into the offseason. I think if you're the Jazz, you want to scope a couple different situations, and Markkanen could be a guy that could be had in the offseason. I could see Golden State was flirting with him, right? You have Curry, Clay, who's been way off, and, you know, Kuminga's been looking great. I think that's the kind of guy that Ainge wants in a package. Does something happen with Sacramento for you know, Markin? Nothing was going to happen at the deadline for him, and I don't think Ainge is going to sell him at pennies on the dollar, but I think he does want to eventually unload him. And it's not because he needs to play Taylor Hendricks necessarily. That's part of it, sure. I think he just wants, he knows we got to get out of this like little 8 to 11th pick consistency year over year. They're not going to rebuild that way. And either go big or go home and take a shot at some, you know, have that time. I think if I'm Ainge, I'm looking at guys like Jaden Ivey. Now, I'm not saying that happens if you're Detroit by any means, but that's the talent that he wants. He wants to have high ceiling guys that he's going to put around. So, and look, it's very hard in the NBA to change, especially for picks, change for dollars, right? Like, I don't think he'd be successful in packaging like 5 or 6 picks that are in the 20 to 40 range for a top 5 pick. That's not how this thing works. But look, with the Celtics, he obviously hit with that big trade. He hit it with Minnesota too, quite frankly, the Rudy Gobert deal, like we talked about. The Celtics, it was more glaring because he got the Bucks picks, which was just like absurd. And they were bad 2 years later. The Wolves were still going to be good for some time. So while those picks are going to convey, they're not going to be, you know, lotto by any means, which is the thing here. So, you know, he's still going to go mediocre talent hunting and hope he hits there, you know. I don't know how successful he'll be. You know, and the last thing, and the last kind of juncture of teams I'll say is like the kind of now heading into the end of the season, how things are going to shape up. Does anything change as a result of the deadline? It's something good to ask, right? So, look, while I love the Detroit Knicks deal for Detroit, quite frankly, I get it for the Knicks. For me, it's going to be, how does Tibbs play Bojan Bogdanović in the rotation? Not a defensive guy. Does that hurt him? But if you're a gambling man, you see the Bucks reeling. You see the Sixers injured. The Knicks see a window, and I think this now at least gives them a puncher shot at that 2 seed. That's what they're aiming at, at least. So I think the Knicks will accomplish that. I think this now helps solidify a conference finals run and an epic showdown with the Celtics in the conference finals. I think it would be a great, great boost for the NBA. I mean, if Porzingis back in the Garden, Boston, New York, reignite that rivalry, but an NBA form, I think it's good for the league, right? And I think the Knicks will lose, but it will be a hard-fought series. The West, to me, I think it kind of gave me the feeling these teams were kind of quiet. Like, I know New Orleans was flirting around Murray, DeJounte Murray, who stayed in Atlanta. I think maybe that gets done in the offseason, depending on what happens. But it's out, and Minnesota didn't. Oh, the best they could do is Monte Morris, right? So, to me, it sets up the same stages that we would have had regardless of the deadline, quite frankly, which is there's three. It's a three-team race out west, and I've said this before. It's OKC, the Clippers, and the Denver Nuggets. And now with Hayward in the mix, the OKC becomes a real tough shot. Real tough. I like, obviously like what they did. And the Clippers should be confident. They didn't need to do anything crazy. You know, I know they're not a fan of PJ Tucker. Nobody wants him. Bones Highland, you know, his value is tanked. So it's not like they're going to get much for those pieces. And they should feel confident. They have the 8-man. Now it's a tight race in the West. So, you know, you want to avoid some of these teams. You know, playoff positioning will matter. But the Clippers did the right move, not doing anything, essentially. And Denver, there wasn't much for them to do. I still think they have a weak link on that team. I'm not saying they should move him, but, like, Porter Jr., you know, I get he's a title winner, but, like, I think if you're Denver, you just won the title, you can't do anything. I understand. I wouldn't be shocked if he gets rumored around closer to the offseason. And, yeah, those are my predictions for the rest of the way. And we will see what happens.